You've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, and I am lovely. I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world and raise awareness for mental health. Join me as we journey through my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. You can follow my antics on Instagram at Lovely Travels and learn more about us at the website www.lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us. Go. Okay. So we are here for our very first ever episode of the Lovely Travels podcast, name TBA, definitely that name. I'm Emma and this is
Darius.
We have to work on our intros, but welcome. We've wanted to do this for a while.
And prepare your ears.
Open your listening ears for all of our talkings. So we wanted to tell you this is our introduction episode. So this is really just to tell you a bit about what's going to come and what to look forward to, and hopefully you like us enough to stick around. So what do you think, Darius?
I think it's a great idea. We have been talking about this for a long time, and I'm glad we're finally getting around to actually putting some audio on record.
That's what we're new to this, guys. We don't know the lingo. We're not down with the jams. So
that's right.
We probably should say who we are. So I am Lovely of Lovely Travels, but my co-host, co-pilot name again to TBA, because I like calling him many names, is Darius. Darius, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
I sure can, Emma. So Emma and I have known each other for many a year, probably like 20 something. And, I was born in Germany. I grew up in sunny Australia and I've been back in Germany now for the past sort of, 9 years, I think. And we've kept in touch over the years, run into each other randomly traveling, traveled together and, just had a great time doing it.
And what do you do for a crust, and where are you based in Germany without giving away your specific address?
I live in sunny Neuss in Germany, which is in North Rhine-Westphalia, close to Düsseldorf and Cologne, which might be a bit more well known. And I work in marketing and business development, digital transformation, all the good stuff, and have traveled a lot. Sometimes for work, mostly for fun. I've seen a bit of the world and I'm happy to be a part of this audio travel guide.
Yes, audio travel guide. And especially, probably shouldn't discuss always when we're, what dates we're recording things, but it's a pretty significant time in the world right now where there is a global pandemic called coronavirus.
Easter.
Oh, yeah. It is a pandemic. It is Easter as well. So, but yes, coronavirus, COVID-19 is really impacting the world. And so actually we are all grounded. And for a very, very rare time in my life, I'm not able to travel. So it's kind of a nice time actually to be working on this project and to be able to, travel through our stories and through our memories and through
us. Going to get us super psyched up to go traveling again.
Oh, yeah. We've got lists upon lists. Darius, do you know what your country count is? Have you done that?
I have, but without actually knowing the correct number, I think it's around 26, 27, 28.
Fabulous.
Something like that.
And we shall explore and hear about a lot of those countries. So I probably should talk about myself. Thanks for the introduction. So my name is Emma Lovell, and I, in high school, changed my created my own nickname, which was lovely. Didn't like being addressed by my surname, as my brother and father were, Lovell. Didn't like that. So I said, call me Lovely. And it stuck. So I am Lovely by name, Lovely by nature. I started a business straight out of uni called Lovely Communications. So I'm all about the communicating, and I actually help people with their branding. So speaking of branding, I literally have a tattoo of Lovely on my foot. I am branded. So I'm sort of in the marketing space as well. But now I specialize in personal branding. So helping people to communicate who they truly are and share their message with the world. And I guess through this transformation that I was going through with my own business journey, which happened in at the 10-year mark, so I'd run my business for 10 years. And in 2019, I sort of thought of this idea. You know, I'd been to a lot of countries. I had been to, at that point, 60-something. And I thought, I want to go to every country. And I heard about this wonderful woman who was aiming to be the first black woman to visit every UN-recognised country in the world. And I thought, that's pretty cool. I wonder how many other people have done it. And it's actually not that many, really. So I
what was the name of the lady?
I will have to look that up and put it in the show notes.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. She was so inspiring. No, her name was Jessica, but I do not remember her surname. But she's done it now. So Jessica, who visited every country in the world, would be pretty easy to find. Mm-hmm. Then I started just researching it and then writing down all the countries and kind of mapping it out. I spent an entire flight from China to Australia just writing down countries and doing all my numbers. So, and I decided, yeah, I'm going to do it. And the coolest thing is I called people like Darius and said, hey, I decided I'm going to visit every country in the world. And instead of being like, ooh, that's a lot, and ooh, do you think so? People like Darius were just like, yep, cool. So what do we do now? What can I do?
Yeah. I think I still said, that's a lot, and do you think so? I just said it with more enthusiasm.
I don't think you did. You were super on board. So I love that. I love that people get it. They know me. I mean, I've set myself a realistic target. So I have currently been to 58 of the UN-recognized countries.
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, 58 of 195. So at this date of April 2020, I have 137 to go. I set myself the goal of doing it by the time I'm 40 or within the year of 40. So,
oh, you still got like, what, 15 years in?
Oh, stop it. 7 years and 4 months, my friend. So averaging, I need to average 20 countries a year pretty much. And considering there's a pandemic, this year might be somewhat diminished. I did get a new one already. I went to Belize in February, March.
Can you Belize it?
Those are the zingers that got you the co-host role. Yes.
Nice.
So, yeah, I've been to 64 overall because there's probably about 240, and I think we'll certainly do an episode talking about – it's a pretty interesting topic. Like,
Which countries aren't UN registered?
What is a country, and, like, how do you get on that list and, like – you know, so some of the countries I visited and somebody asked me, and I'll have to look up the list again, but the reason I have 64 countries yet only 58 are recognised is because a couple of those are, you know, part of France, say, like New Caledonia is part of France, so it doesn't count. Lifu is a country, but it's, again, part of France. Or St. Thomas is... St. Thomas is probably part of France. France has a lot of stuff. The Netherlands has St. Martin. You know, So there's those sorts of places.
St. Kitts? Which one is St. Kitts?
Well, there's St. Kitts and Nevis, and that's a country as well. So this is the fun stuff we're going to talk about. Sure. And you might have to fact check me a few times.
I can do that. Say something and I'll check if it's right.
Okay, is St. Kitts and Nevis a UN-recognised country? I haven't been there, so quite frankly, it doesn't matter to me right now. But
St. Kitts.
You're not on my list, country. I don't care. No, I do care. I'm sure you're wonderful.
St. Kitts and Nevis. Probably shouldn't just Google stuff while we're recording. doesn't make for great content. Okay, it has a pretty flag though. Neither of us has been there. Island country in the West Indies. Yes.
And is UN recognized or no?
Smallest sovereign state in the Western Hemisphere, both in area and population. Countries of Commonwealth realm, Queen Elizabeth, something, something. Where is the...
Yes, I think this is... we're going to veto the Googling live.
We'll have prepared Googles.
We'll silently Google, maybe, while I ramble.
We'll just have the facts there, because, like... We won't just pull a country like St. Kitts and Nevis out of the air either. We promise there will be more preparation.
I have checked all of my countries numerous times, so I am sure. There's a frustrating one on my list that's like Hong Kong, because it feels like, and it's probably very controversial at the moment too. It feels like its own country, but it was England and then China, so it's not.
Careful, Em.
It is. It was England and China. It's China.
Yeah, but like it doesn't. Like, I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna try and keep this non-political.
It's just a fact. Hong Kong is not.
Is it China though?
Yes, it's a republic. It's part of the Republic of China. I have been there. You would hope I know these things. My aunt lived in Hong Kong, so I've been to Hong Kong.
Yeah, okay. It is. But they're pretty keen on not being a part of China, right?
Yeah, and this is why the country number shifts so much. So when you're trying to say you want to go to every country in the world, you have to pick, a list to go off, and that's why people pick the UN-recognised countries, because it tends to be more stable. Sure. Whereas, you know, even in probably the time that people have been starting their challenge, countries have changed and divided. Or
a recent one I can think of is the Sudan's.
Yeah. So people who've been to one before would now be called, you know, and countries change their names as well. So, I mean, Swaziland has changed to, I believe it's Eritrea. So yeah, it's really, I like it. I really enjoy, I'm not super great at geography, but I love looking at a map. My love of travel is my love of learning about other cultures, meeting other people, connecting, just being in a world that's different to my own. I do sit here, it is an audio, but I do sit here in an Indian garment that I actually purchased in India from my friend's Indian shop.
I'm pretty sure my garment is also made in India.
Yes, mine looks particularly Indian. It's an anarkali, which is an Indian gown, if you will. Yes, again, fun things you do in quarantine, dress up. So the reason the podcast came about, do you want to tell us a bit about how that happened, Darius?
Yes.
Do you remember?
No, I remember, of course. Ask me again. Ask me again.
So we probably should talk about how this podcast came to be. So, Darius, would you like to elaborate on that one?
I sure would. The idea for the podcast actually came about while we were listening to podcasts.
Ta-da!
In a very, very inspired moment, I don't know who said it. I think Emma said, we should do a podcast. And I'm like, yeah, we should do a podcast.
So a lot of thought went into the process. A lot of deep thought went into that process.
Did it?
No, I said we should do a podcast. You said yes.
Yeah. No, you don't need to talk about great ideas. You just know when they're a good idea. We were driving. We were probably somewhere between Poland and Estonia.
Yeah, accurate.
Emma had made a little mission to you know, knock some countries off the list.
Prove a point. I wanted to prove that you could do it quite quickly, and Europe is such a great playground for that. And so we both flew in from Germany into Poland in the morning, and the goal was to get to Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. We had 4 days, but we ended up, being in those five countries in 2 days, and that's the sort of thing you can do in Europe. No, well, in the first day we were in Germany, Poland, and then we stayed in Lithuania, and the next day we were in Latvia and Estonia.
Okay, I didn't count Germany because I lived there.
Well, you should. It is a UN-recognised country, so tick.
Tick.
Anyway, yes, so we were somewhere between Poland and Estonia. Carry on.
Driving and, you know, what am I trying to say here, Anne?
Well, why are we doing this podcast?
Because you told me to.
Well, we thought that our banter was quite wonderful, and we just thought that we could share some pretty cool stories.
Yeah, definitely. If anyone knows funny, it's us. And
no, my delightful husband has assured me we are not funny. I mean, he wasn't in the car though, so.
Exactly. What does he know?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm questioning my marriage choice. Love you, babe.
2 weeks in, guys.
No, to be fair, he won't listen to this. I love him dearly, but he doesn't. He doesn't watch, read, listen to the things I create, so I can say what I want.
Well, I'm not touching that.
Anyway, I think we've covered the fact that we wanted to start a podcast. What are we going to talk about? Maybe you should ask me what we're going to talk about.
So, Emma, we're definitely on board with this podcast. It's a great idea. We've got content up the wazoo. What's tying it all together? What is this? What is the lovely travel podcast about?
So, yeah, it's, you know, I have this mission to visit 195 UN-recognized countries around the world. And whilst doing that, I want to spread awareness about mental health and mental illness, and because that's something that's touched my life. But, you know, I think that having conversations and talking is just such a powerful thing. And the reason that I've loved travel, and I think one of the things that brings us together with travel, is that connection. You know, it's about having an interest in places and people and wanting to learn more. And not all of us will have the fortune to go to so many places, the time nor money nor ability. I'm very fortunate in that respect, and I'd love to share some of the stories of the experiences that I've had. I'd love to hear some of the experiences and stories that you've had, but also in terms of the other broader, you know, what we'd like to share is interviewing people from places or interviewing people who travel and just really just sharing stories about all these amazing places around the world and these amazing people who are in them. I think that's something pretty powerful. Yeah.
I think it's also important that the people hear that it's not just going to be us rambling all the time.
As entertaining as that would be, no, there are wonderful people of interest that we want to bring on to talk about their life in a place that, you know, because being a local in a place is quite different to being a visitor in a place, and you see things differently, but also to talk to fellow travellers who, you know, had wonderful stories and experiences. I also would love to give this platform to some incredible businesses who are operating in the travel space or who support travel, facilitate travel, and who connect us while we're traveling. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity to meet some really cool people and share stories from really cool people and hopefully have fun and hopefully they'll enjoy listening. Otherwise, you know, it'll just be like 3 subscribers every week for the next 3 years. We'll see.
You, me, and Matt, because he had to.
Probably you, me, and the cat.
Oh, no.
The cat will listen. No, to be fair, we'll have at least 5 listeners. Our mums will listen for sure. They love us.
Oh, they will.
I have to teach them about podcasts first, and then, yeah, so look, we probably need to keep this episode short and sweet. So do you think there's anything else we need to cover off about what this podcast is and what's to come and all that jazz?
So I would like to know more about the mental health aspect that you mentioned. How is that tying into the podcast and the travels and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so when I decided on this mission to visit every country, it's a, you know, it's a wonderful thing that I'd like to do, and I'm sure there's a lot that I'll benefit from it, but I sort of wanted to have more depth to this ambitious goal of mine. And I am a speaker for the Black Dog Institute, so they are a mental health organisation in Australia. And shout out to them. And I've been a volunteer speaker for them for quite some time, sharing my personal experience with mental health, depression and anxiety. And one of the biggest and most powerful things that helped me was asking for help and was talking about what I was going through. And so part of what I want to do is, while I'm going around, is I want to learn how other cultures and other countries tackle mental health and mental illness, and why some countries like Bhutan have a gross national happiness, why some countries have the blue zone, and I'd love to talk a bit more about that, like these people who are living really long, happy, contented lives, and why there's other places where mental illness is so prevalent and such a huge statistic. And unfortunately, a lot of that is probably in Western places where, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And how people deal with it and what they call it and all that. I think it's interesting. And I think the more we talk about it, the less taboo it is. And so I'm very happy to be someone who vocalizes that and just to see if we can spread that message.
Yeah, I can really get on board with that as well, because the, you know, it seems to me like it's almost like, you know, it's a generational thing as well. And I think a lot of people our age do struggle with mental illness in some way. Like, I know, you know, in my group of friends, there's a lot of cases of, you know, people being depressed and burned out and all this sort of stuff, which is, you know, doesn't really physically manifest, obviously. But, you know, and I think a big problem is that people don't talk about it. And there's still a big sort of stigma attached to it. Yeah, it's interesting to you know, see how other countries deal with that. I'm happy to be speaking out for it a little bit too.
Yeah, look, what it's called, whether like people find it hard to name, or, and you know, I think there's a historical thing of it. It's like, oh, depression's only existed in the last blah, blah years, you know, even the post-traumatic stress disorder was only really sort of established after the Vietnam War. But certainly in hindsight, they're like, oh, so when people came home from war and they were really like not themselves, oh, they probably had depression, or they probably, that person was probably that way because of anxiety. But there's still this sort of, it's like that it didn't exist before we called it something. Well, it has existed for a long time. We just didn't know what to call it or how to treat it or how to address it. And the more we can talk about it, the more we can learn about it, the more we can help people.
Yeah, the term itself, depression, is like, you know, it conjures to mind like an image of someone just being mopey and stuff. But like, plenty of happy people can be depressed as well. It's not, you know, you can be cheery as anything and still feel like, you know, it's all gone to shit, even though it hasn't, and you can't really explain it.
Yeah, and look, and I guess the way it all ties back as well personally for me is like, travel truly is my passion. Travel, you know, putting a purpose to my travel is great, but I've always had a reason to travel. The reason is my family live overseas. I have beautiful friends who live overseas. I'm fortunate to have traveled for work or had the opportunity to travel and work. And that gives me joy. I am very content when I'm traveling and seeing new things. And, you know, if I ever found times at home difficult, which I probably only did after my first returning from travel, I quickly learned that you can see your own backyard and your own town, your own area with new eyes and have that traveler mindset. Even, you know, I discovered only recently that I can walk on the sand near my house instead of walking on the path. Like, woo! You know, like, I've lived here for 18 months and only just had that epiphany. So it's really nice and beautiful to discover new things.
You didn't know that there was a beach?
I did know there was a beach. I just didn't think to walk on it because there was a path to walk on. You know,
it's time to get off the beaten path.
I was taking the path more traveled.
Yeah. Look, we'll get to the differences between sand and paths in another episode and other walkable surfaces. Emma, have I got news for you? You can walk on mud. You can walk on asphalt. You can walk on gravel. You can walk on dirt. You can walk on grass. There's different types of grass you can walk on. There's some grasses you shouldn't walk on. That has to be said from the start.
Okay. Point taken. All right. This joyous rambling about many a thing, predominantly travel and places around the world, is what we have to offer. So tune in again to Lovely Travels Podcast. Yep.
Come for the jokes, stay for the blokes.
I think that's both of you. So, I've been Emma. I've been Emma Lovely of Lovely Travels Podcast with my delightful co-host Darius of.
Yep. I've been and I still am.
Darius
of Germany. the first.
All right. Signing off. I don't know. I don't want to do a weird sign off. Just bye. Bye. Oh.
Sayonara, yeah. Folks.
No, choose.
We could say goodbye in a different language every episode.
Okay. We say choose today. I think it's saying choose.
Ta-ta.